years of OK Radio, repulsive to the talk radio community. Billie Eilish fashions, courtesy of Idaho. Tonight, lesbians, strippers, and other ratings grabbers. I'm your announcer, James Goblin.
All right, coming up tonight, we're going to have a live report from a campus in America about the protests that are taking place. Plus, more importantly, Thea Landon will share her smutty novel. Now, Dave with the weather.
Sterling on Sunday, coming up.
Hi, I'm retired New York City Police Detective Vic Ferrari. And on this week's episode of Confessions of a Retired NYPD Detective, I tell the story of what happens when four NYPD cops come up with the not-so-bright idea to tour a women's prison. Coming up in moments on Sterling on Sunday.
Cinco de Mayo sale meltdown in Bucks County, Pennsylvania. Details later, people of Walmart, Sterling at night.
I'm smutty book author Thea Landon, and I have a late night story for you on Sterling on Sunday.
Dan and Becky Gaffney here. You know, YouTube has saved people thousands of dollars in home repair bills. You can do anything yourself.
YouTube might give you the idea, honey, but it definitely doesn't give you the ability.
Tonight on Sterling on Sunday.
Tonight, and you on the toll-free line, 888-688-WALT.
Fall into the gap now, get to the gap.
We got 4 tons of Levi's waiting for you.
At the gap now, fall into the gap.
With the world's greatest selection, it's true.
At the gap now, fall into the gap.
Whatever your shape, sex, or size,
we got your favorite Levi's jeans.
At the gap now, shoot, pop the gap, gap,
fall into the gap.
The company's practically out of business, and all they had to do was relaunch that campaign. The original Gap jingle aired on giant radio stations like WCFL in Chicago in 1970. Now I've put an earworm into your head, haven't I? You want to hear it again, don't you?
Fall into the gap now, get to the gap.
We got 4 tons of Levi's waiting for you.
At the gap now, fall into the gap.
With the world's greatest selection, it's true.
At the gap now, fall into the gap.
Whatever your shape, sex, or size,
we got your favorite Levi's jeans.
At the gap now, shoot, pop the gap, gap,
fall into the gap.
Visit the Gap at one of 23 Chicagoland locations from Super CFL. Yes, that's what a radio jingle sounds like. That jingle built the Gap. The reason you went to the Gap at some point in your life was that jingle, not the whack job stuff they did later on with the people dancing on an all-white set. It was the Gap jingle. Why didn't they bring the Gap jingle back when they were in trouble? That would have saved them. When the Gap originally opened, I'm going to tell you something you won't believe. They sold jeans and they sold music, albums, vinyl, and snacks, and books. It was a bodega for Bachelor of Arts students. All right, I'm Walter M. Sterling, and this was Derby Weekend. And it's interesting to me that every year the Kentucky Derby seems to get less and less coverage. But I will tell you that I went to the Kentucky Derby once. I was a vice president at the ABC Radio Network. And ABC covered the Kentucky Derby with Dave Johnson calling the call. Dave Johnson. And I never saw anything like it. It was incredible. The infield of the Kentucky Derby track and every bleacher, every seat was filled with somebody who was dressed incredibly well. And there were two reasons why people went to this race. Yeah, they thought they might win some money, but there are very few events in life where you know for sure at some point in that 24 hours you will have sex. This is a revved-up Kentucky crowd. They are all ready to watch the races, enjoy the spring, the equinox, and have sex. Well-dressed bourbon sex. The first thing we did at the Kentucky Derby as a group of high-powered executives from the ABC Radio Network is, of course, we took a tour of the Maker's Mark Distillery. The Maker's Mark Distillery is the Disney World of distilleries. It's beautiful, immaculate. And I learned at the Kentucky Derby two really important things. One, exactly how to have a career in precision language, and everything I needed to know about politicians. We were at the Maker's Mark Distillery, and at the end of the Maker's Mark Distillery tour, I don't know if you've ever seen a Maker's Mark bottle, it is dipped in red sealing wax. Red sealing wax. When you see a bourbon bottle in a liquor store, the ones with the red sealing wax, that's Maker's Mark. Well, it gets better. At the end of the tour, you're handed a golden box, and your name is printed on the box. And you open it up, and sure enough, there's a bottle of Maker's Mark, but it's not with the red sealing wax. It's with gold. It's dipped in gold wax, and your name's on the box. It's a keeper, let me tell you. Now we all pile onto the bus, mostly drunk, very well-dressed drunks, being taken to Churchill Downs, all of these ABC executives, carrying the Kentucky Derby. And I knew nothing about horse racing. I'd never bet on a race. I didn't know how they worked. I didn't know that the Kentucky Derby doesn't actually start till like 5:40. But you're there at 2 p.m. watching race one. I didn't realize the Derby was race 9 or race 7. I don't know. I know nothing about sports, but we went to the clubhouse because we were doing play-by-play, not because we were important. And every hotshot star and politician is in the clubhouse on Derby Day. And they're all beautifully dressed. And they've brought the prettiest people they know, men and women. It is quite a crowd. But Dave Johnson, the guy who was calling the race, the track announcer, the race announcer for ABC, he had grabbed my program for the race and marked it with each race what I should bet on, win, place, or show. And in the clubhouse, the betting windows are in the clubhouse. I don't have to go out with the riffraff. You know, I didn't have to leave the clubhouse. In the clubhouse with me, there is President Carter. And there is Rosalind Carter. Magnificently dressed, true Southern people. And I place a bet. And I'm standing and I'm watching. I place a bet and I have my program with me. And I win. Not because I knew anything, except I knew the track announcer. I bet what he told me to do. The President of the United States, President Carter, sees this. And what are you betting on in the next race? I'm like, oh my gosh, oh my gosh. And I told him, we both won. Next race comes up. He looks for his wife. He goes, Rosalind, this is my inside man. Now I was the President of the United States' inside man. I had the program with Win, Place, Show marked by the race announcer for ABC. Oh my gosh. He places a bet. He wins. Now we're talking. We're close. It's as though we've been together all our lives. I ask Rosalind very important questions. She answers my very important questions. And it was a magnificent day. It was the May of the Kentucky Derby, the first Saturday in May, 72 degrees, no humidity, incredibly beautiful, well-dressed crowd. Everything smelled of magnolias and mint juleps. The movie. It was the movie to life. And as I say, at that moment, every hot shot at that moment in time was in that clubhouse at Churchill Downs. And then I learned everything I needed to know for the rest of my life about politicians, and I also got some stunning career advice from my boss, who was a man named Ed McLaughlin, who discovered and syndicated Rush Limbaugh, a man worth listening to. I'll have that for you coming up in just seconds. I'm Walter Sterling. This is a live radio show. It's called Sterling on Sunday.
Sterling on Sunday, inspired by NASA.
Remember when NASA sent a woman to space for only 6 days and they gave her
now fall into the gap.
With the world's greatest selection, it's true.
Tap the gap, now fall into the gap.
Whatever your shape, sex or size,
we got your favorite Levi's jeans. Tap the gap, now shoot, pop the gap, gap. Fall into the gap.
20 locations throughout Chicagoland from Super CFL. I always wanted to say that, and it means absolutely nothing to you, and that's fine. We still can be together, and it's still my show. The Kentucky Derby. A few years ago, I was an executive at ABC, and we covered the Kentucky Derby. We did the play-by-play of the Kentucky Derby. I can't begin to describe how magnificent an incredible day going to the Derby is. The infield is filled with thousands of people, perfectly dressed. It's preppies on the loose. And every seat in the grandstand packed with people, preppies on the loose. And everybody is drinking mint juleps. And mint juleps are a tricky drink because it seems like soda. And yet it has the punch of 100 bourbons. All right. I'm at the Derby, and now I'm in the clubhouse, and I'm with President Carter and Roslyn, because the president, being a politician, noticed who was winning, and that was me, because Dave Johnson had marked my program. He showed me what to bet on each race. He was the play-by-play announcer for the ABC radio networks. We bonded very quickly because he could mark my program. And I won the first race, the second race, the third race. And by the third race, the president of the United States said to his wife, Roslyn, this is my inside man. This is my inside. I was the president's inside man. Can you imagine that? I was half drunk. I was in the most magnificent, privileged place on earth at that moment. And everybody in that stadium, everybody at the racetrack was going to have sex that day. Anybody in the state of Kentucky was absolutely going to have sex that day. And therefore, the mood was very light. Everybody was happy. And then we bet on the next race. And the horse lost. And at that moment, I learned every single thing I'd ever need to know about politicians. The minute the horse lost, and Carter lost his bet, and Roslyn lost her bet, I never saw them again. It isn't like they were over there, or they said, excuse me, or you want to meet one of our friends? No, no. They vanished. The minute they saw a loss, they vanished. I'm like, he was my best friend today, and seconds later, he was not. All right, now it's coming up to Derby time. And I'm very happy in the clubhouse with my boss, Ed McLaughlin, and the head of sales, Lou Severin. These were titans of network radio. They knew how to run network radio, and tragically, they're not involved today. Lou's still alive. Lou Severin plays golf near Sebring, near Michael Ewing, our affiliate in Sebring, Florida. And Lou Severin was a head of sales. He had the largest radio sales organization in the world, and he was a brilliant manager and tough as nails. That's why he's still alive, out of spite. Now, Ed says to the two of us, come with me. I'm like, let me come with you. I'm happy here in the clubhouse. This is where I'm supposed to be, at the Kentucky Derby. I'm at the Kentucky Derby. The race is about to win. It's about 3 minutes from now. Where are we going? We walk out to a catwalk on the roof of Churchill Downs. Think of what Churchill Downs looked like with the spires, twin spires, how magnificent and majestic. And emblazoned in our American consciousness what Kentucky Derby is, what Churchill Downs is. But Ed wanted to go for a walk out of the clubhouse. Now we go for a walk. We're walking on a catwalk on the roof of Churchill Downs. And I'm not good with heights, but I'm going. We get to a crow's nest above the clubhouse. Imagine that. We were such big deals because we were carrying the race. We get above the clubhouse at Churchill's Downs. One by one, I go up this ladder. I'm scared out of my mind. We get up to the club because, remember, we're all kind of drunk. We get into the crow's nest.
just the three of us. And the sight is even more magnificent. We're higher. We're so far above the crowd. We can see everything for miles. And this magnificent pastel of color. It was incredible. 72, perfect weather, magnificent. And about 30 seconds before the race started, Ed McLaughlin puts his very large, commanding arm around my shoulder. He looks out at this incredible scene. He knows I'm not married yet. And he knows everything a wife wants because he's been successfully married for many years. He's been successful at everything. You pay attention when Ed McLaughlin puts his giant, commanding arm around you while overlooking the infield of the Kentucky Derby and the races 90 seconds from now. His arms around me. He motions to the crowd, to the incredible vision, view that we have of the Kentucky Derby on Derby Day. And he says, Sterling, you better not F it up. You better not. Because your wife is going to want all of this.
Ball into the gap now. Get to the gap.
We got four tons of Levi's waiting for you.
At the gap now. Ball into the gap.
With the world's greatest selection. It's true.
At the gap now. Ball into the gap.
Whatever your shape, six or size.
We got your favorite Levi's jeans.
At the gap now. Shoot off the gap. Gap.
Ball into the gap.
888-688-WALT. 888-688-WALT. Now that I am married, and she's a mom of our three magnificent daughters, I have a new problem. Never have I been successful with Mother's Day. And for some reason, my 21-year-old, 18-year-old, and 12-year-old don't quite understand that she is not my mother. And therefore, it is their job to get the gift. It is their job to decide what to get their mom on Mother's Day. Moms, what do you want? What the heck do you want for Mother's Day? 888-688-WALT. That is my magic phone number. 888-688-9258. I'd like to know what you really want for Mother's Day. And it'll be a better story if you share the worst gift you ever got. Like the worst gift you ever got. 888-688-WALT. 888-688-WALT. Soon we have to chat about the horror of Britney Spears' life and the whack job that she married or sort of married. It's very confusing to me. That number, live, 888-688-WALT. This is Sterling on Sunday.
Sterling on Sunday. Inspired by TikTok.
Boy math is when they need to leave the house by 5 o'clock. So at 4:59, they're literally ready to go. Like, they're literally ready. They just need to hop in the shower super quick. But other than that, they're literally ready to go.
Sterling on Sunday, coming up.
Hi, I'm retired New York City Police Detective Vic Ferrari. And on this week's episode of Confessions of a Retired NYPD Detective, I tell the story of what happens when four NYPD cops come up with a not-so-bright idea to tour a women's prison. Coming up in moments on Sterling on Sunday.
Cinco de Mayo sale meltdown in Bucks County, Pennsylvania. Details later, people of Walmart, Sterling at night.
I'm smutty book author Thea Landon, and I have a late night story for you on Sterling on Sunday.
Dan and Becky Gaffney here. You know, YouTube has saved people thousands of dollars in home repair bills. You can do anything yourself.
YouTube might give you the idea, honey, but it definitely doesn't give you the ability.
Tonight on Sterling on Sunday.
Tonight, and you on the toll-free line, 888-688-WALT.
Isn't that the fault of the voters?
Let's make a pizza.
I need a phone stand. I need phone to... Oh, wait, I have a phone stand.
That's me.
A pizza.
I need a ricotta. I need ancia. Let's make a pizza.
On Sunday, the fall.
6889 call 888 6889 WALT. I don't know if the I don't know if the they got the number right, but it's 888-688-WALT. Now I have to explain this person.
I need a phone stand. I need a phone stand.
Oh, wait, I have a phone stand. That's me.
A pizza.
I need a ricotta. I need ancia.
That is the niece of a man who owns a pizzeria at the Jersey Shore. Need I say that she's attractive? You can see her videos on TikTok. And her last name's Molinari, but her TikTok handle is J-U-N-O. When bored, you will thank me if you go to J-U-N-O, because she starts every little video of her making a pizza by saying,
"Let's make a pizza."
There's nothing hotter for a boy from Jersey to see a very attractive woman making a pizza in New Jersey. And then we see the results, and it's like, that's the greatest pizza I've ever seen. And all the comments on TikTok, all of the comments say the same thing. I've told my mother we're getting married. I've explained to my family that we're getting married, because this is the ultimate skill that any Jersey kid, especially a Jersey kid at the shore, wants in their bride. They want them to be able to make a pizza.
Let's make a pizza.
And she never seems to get messy. Then we're equally attracted, as a Jersey boy, we're equally attracted to great baked goods. And I was stunned on Facebook when I saw JB Bakery of Burlington, New Jersey, putting up photos of baked goods that they've made, that Steve the Baker and Selena the Ballerina have created. I have never seen such incredible looking baked goods. It'll make you nuts. Look for it on Facebook for JB Bakery. They are not paying for this time. I pay dearly for this time just by putting them on the air. The constant technical struggle of putting them on the air is a test for any union. There's Steve and Selena. Welcome to Sterling on Sunday, our official bakers.
Hi, good evening, Walter. Great to be on with you tonight.
It is, isn't it? But I want to hear Selena. You're okay, but Selena's more fun.
Hi, Walter. How are you?
Selena, a good week? Everything all right? Any trouble? Are finals over?
Finals are... I have one more paper. It's 10 pages long. It's almost done. Everything went well. I did have one test that went a little bit differently than I thought it would, but it all turned out good in the end, and I think I have A's in all my classes, so that's a good thing.
And that test was last Monday, right?
Well, that one, the economics test went great on Monday. And then I had one yesterday for geography, which threw me off a little bit because the questions were not on the study guide at all. But I saved it in the end. It went well.
I was very fond of those tests that tested things that were not covered in class or in any of the books. And yet most of the grade depended on this test of imaginary information that we never had received. Yes, I ran into that in college, too. And yet the good news is, Selena, the dirty secret is, once I got out of college, nobody ever asked me if I went to college, ever. It was never in a job interview. Nobody ever said, did you go to college? Nobody ever said it. Hopefully it'll be the same for you, but it sounds to me as though you might graduate summa cum laude with all A's. Is that a possibility?
It is a possibility right now. I'm obviously just trying to do my best and stay on top of that. I have one more year, so, you know, hopefully if I continue to just put work in and there aren't too many tests that throw in things we didn't study, I should be fine, and maybe I'll graduate summa cum laude.
I bet you will. And congratulations. The demand for the chocolate chip cookie recipe that you shared with us last week. Many Midnight Misfits wanted that recipe. They have it, along with a picture of the two of you clowns, and I'm grateful to you. Now, if you missed last week the Steve the Baker chocolate chip cookie recipe, and you'd still like it, and you would like it, drop me an email. It's all you got to do. WalterMSterling@gmail.com. WalterMSterling@gmail.com. And I will send you this incredible chocolate chip cookie recipe. Now, Steve, you said you had a tip about making the chocolate chip cookie recipe. Would you share that?
Yeah, Walter, the chocolate chip cookie recipes are amazing. I use extra dark chocolate chips for the Midnight Misfit recipe. And the little added touch that Selena and I like is when that cookies actually come out of the oven and they're still hot, they're still like brown and a little crispy on the edges, and they're steaming with that fresh baked cookie smell. The little tip to do would be to add some nice, really fine sea salt. Just sprinkle each cookie with a little bit of salt so that when they cool down and you get to try that first bite of the cookie, you get the chocolate and the salt mixed together, and it really brings out the chocolate taste. It's amazing. It's such a great tip.
That is a great tip. Do you have a new recipe for us that you might make available to Midnight Misfits? Do you have an additional recipe tonight?
Yes, Walter. I'm actually really excited about this new recipe. I like to do this every season. If anybody's from New Jersey, they really know that Jersey's known for strawberries. So there's plenty of strawberry fields in New Jersey. And the best way to enjoy fresh Jersey strawberries is strawberry shortcake. And that's like the old school kind of recipe where it's a biscuit. Not actually cake, it's a biscuit. So it's flour, shortening, sugar, not too much sugar. Everything gets mixed together. You make a nice home country biscuit. After those are baked, slice them open, add some whipped cream. You can make the whipped cream yourself, not too much sugar, or get some Cool Whip and just add the fresh strawberries right off. You know, maybe you could pick your own. There's plenty of farms in New Jersey where you could pick your own strawberries. And just add them right to the strawberry shortcake, and you got yourself a wonderful, wonderful dessert that would also be amazing for Mother's Day. Mother's Day weekend usually kicks off the strawberry season, and mothers enjoy, I'm sure, strawberry shortcake, and it could be enjoyed with the entire family. So it could be something that everybody could bring together and make at home.
Steve the Baker and Selena the Ballerina at JB Bakery in Burlington, New Jersey. Great Mother's Day gift idea. Make mom a real strawberry shortcake fresh. I grew up in Jersey, and when you said the strawberry shortcake, the real ones are made with a biscuit, brought back all those memories. I had forgotten about that. You're absolutely right. That is how my mother and her sisters made strawberry shortcake. It was a biscuit, not some limp cake the way you get it in bad supermarkets today. And he gave us a great tip on how to deal with the chocolate chip cookies. If you would like the recipe for the strawberry shortcake, send me an email, WalterMSterling@gmail.com, WalterMSterling@gmail.com, and I will forward it to you. Steve and Selena, JB Bakery, Burlington, New Jersey, thank you for being on Sterling on Sunday. It's 47 past the hour, and now we will go to the protein part of the menu, and we'll find out how to cook moose. This is Sterling on Sunday.
Sterling on Sunday, inspired by Judge Judy.
Ultimately, you got the car back.
Yes, ma'am.
And you say it was damaged.
Yes, ma'am.
Who cares?
You want to hear it again? I know you do. This is the last time. I'm not going to play it again because, you know, why risk all that trouble?
Ball into the gap now. Get to the gap.
We got four tons of Levi's.
I should have found an old WCFL jingle as it rocked the Great Lakes and Southern Canada with those commercials, those incredible jingles, and my favorite disc jockey ever, Bob Dearborn. Bob Dearborn, who figured out the code to American Pie. He was the disc jockey who figured out what the song American Pie meant. And, of course, I love this.
Do you realize that because of you, this city is being overrun by baboons?
Well, isn't that the fault of the voters?
All right, we just heard from J.B. Bakery in Burlington, New Jersey. We got a great recipe for strawberry shortcake, Jersey style. Jersey's version of strawberry shortcake. And I'm like, yes, that's how it was when I was growing up in Maplewood, New Jersey. It was a biscuit. It was fresh strawberries, whipped cream with a fresh biscuit. It was incredible. And he said, you know, it'd be a great Mother's Day gift. If you bake from scratch strawberry shortcake for your mother, you're off the hook. All that stuff you can afford at Tiffany or Sephora, you can make a strawberry shortcake that she will love. This is just for you, Mom, because the strawberries come out this week. The fresh strawberries are out this week. You're made. You got it. Send me a note for the recipe. You ready? Just send it to Walter M. Sterling at Gmail. S-T-E-R. Walter, not the way Peter Bolger spelled it. S-T-E-R-L-I-N-G. At Gmail. And I'll send you the recipe. And if you didn't get the chocolate chip recipe, I'll send you that too. I think what I'm going to do, you let me know how you feel about this. I think every week we'll have JB Bakery on to give us a recipe. Now, why JB Bakery? But because they were smart enough to post pictures of what they make on Facebook. I saw it. I was impressed. They're not paying for this time. They're not great on the radio, but they have tremendous information for us. Great information. Steve the baker owns the bakery. And here's the thing. When you think of a baker, what do you think of? You don't think of a hot guy. You don't think of a hot woman. They're hot. Imagine hot bakers making hot cross buns. Yay! Cutting edge radio. I'm telling you, there's nothing else like this. There's nothing else like it. If you need protein, I love how today they say, well, and your protein will be, and your vegetable will be, and your carbohydrate will be. How about food? Could I have food? It's like I hate it when people in radio say, well, the people in our market are really into sports. Shut up. Do you live in a city? You don't live in a market. You live in a city. Say the name of the city. Call it the city. In our city, not our market. You're not Warmland. You didn't redefine a region of the country. You weren't as smart as Art Carlson at WARM in 1960. You weren't that smart. So call it a city. Okay. Keith Fonz, our buddy in Fairbanks, Alaska. Keith, do you know a great recipe for cooking moose?
Well, when it comes to moose, my favorite thing, you know, you have to get it processed nice, get this nice chunk of ground meat, and then I love to make moose burgers. And you... So basically what I would do is I'd take, like, the meat that's ground up, just like ground beef, but instead it's moose. And then, you know, you add whatever you like. Personally, I like a little diced onion in it, some little bit of garlic in it. And then, you know, you put cheese all through it. So then when you cook it, you got cheese going, just melting off of it. And then I love to top it with a little bit of country fried steak gravy.
How thick are the moose burgers?
I like them, like, thick to where they can barely even fit in my mouth, and messy. You know, it's just, you got to be able to taste every little bit of it.
Keith Fonz, do you have a recipe, an actual recipe that I could share with a listener? Could you send me an actual recipe?
Yeah, definitely. I'll send your email a recipe that I use.
All right, so Keith Fonz, who's at Fairbanks, Alaska, near the North Pole, actually at North Pole, Alaska, which is a town that houses Santa's workshop, is going to send me a moose burger recipe. And if you'd like the moose burger recipe, you send me an email to Walter M. Sterling at Gmail, and I will send you Keith Fonz, who's in Alaska. It's not some phony baloney nonsense. Who's actually in Alaska, who's sharing with us his moose burger recipe. Keith Fons, thank you for being our biggest fan north of the Canadian border. And why is it that we only have trouble at the southern border? Why aren't there hordes of Canadians coming? Why aren't the Inuk coming over our border illegally? Things I don't understand. Thanks, Keith Fons. All right, I'm Walter Sterling, and I'd like to know, Mom, what do you want? I have failed every year of most of my life to give a great Mother's Day gift, but I got three kids. And their mother's not my mother, and they better not screw this up. They better come up with gifts for Mom next Sunday. It's not April Fool's. It's a real holiday that you're stuck with. But we need advice. 888-688-WALT. 888-688-WALT. Live on the radio.
On Sunday, Nicole.
688-WALT. On Derby weekend, my favorite weekend of the year, every year on Derby weekend, I invoke my grandfather. I say, what should I bet on? He's been dead 20 years. And he tells me. And this year again, he screwed it up. Sterling on Sunday.
10 years of OK Radio, repulsive to the talk radio community. Billie Eilish fashions, courtesy of Idaho. Tonight, lesbians, strippers, and other ratings grabbers. I'm your announcer, James Doblin.
All right, coming up in just seconds, we'll get a live report from a student on one of the troubled campuses. Plus, in just seconds, Thea Landon and her smutty book. Good evening. Dr. Dave, weather.
Sterling on Sunday, coming up.
Hi, I'm retired New York City Police Detective Vic Ferrari, and on this week's episode of Confessions of a Retired NYPD Detective, I tell the story of what happens when four NYPD cops come up with a not-so-bright idea to tour a women's prison. Coming up in moments on Sterling on Sunday.
Mayhem, parking lot, Daisy Dukes, Davenport. Strippers on the Loose later, Sterling at Night.
I'm smutty book author Thea Landon, and I have a late night story for you on Sterling on Sunday.
Dan and Becky Gaffney here. You know, YouTube has saved people thousands of dollars in home repair bills. You can do anything yourself.
YouTube might give you the idea, honey, but it definitely doesn't give you the ability.
Tonight on Sterling on Sunday.
Tonight, and you on the toll-free line, 888-688-WALT.
There is the magnificent Meredith, my daughter, who is a freshman on the honor roll at her college, where there has been civil unrest for days. Now, you know about Meredith. About a year ago, she was in a car accident because a drunk driver mishandled the car, resulted in her having to have wrist surgery. Months of physical rehab. It was a terrible car accident. And one day, Meredith, one day we will get a settlement check. But until then, we will count our pennies and our blessings. Meredith, thank you very much. I know that this has been a traumatic few days for you and your friends on the campus. Share with us what's going on, just like a reporter, and how you feel. Take your time, exhale. The stage is yours.
All right. Yeah, so basically, for the past few days, a bunch of students on campus have been peacefully protesting, and they haven't been violent. They haven't had any sort of, you know, violent signs or anything that would be discriminatory. They've been very peaceful, and I've seen it myself. You know, I don't think there's any problem with what the protesters are doing. They're following guidelines and rules. But the police, a few nights ago, when the first protest happened, they sent out a helicopter with, you know, like a searchlight and a drone. And the police basically crowded them in and started, there would be like three or four cops attacking one student and arresting them. And one crazy thing about it is that a lot of the students weren't even read their Miranda rights as they were arrested. So it was overall just really like, to me, an attack on our students' First Amendment right, and overly violent and vicious.
It became violent when the police showed up on campus. It wasn't students attacking each other.
No, not at all. The students were quite literally sitting there in the quad in a public space. This is a public state school, so legally they are allowed to be doing this. And there weren't any outsiders. It was all students, and there were some professors there as well who were arrested. And all there was over 80 students or over 70 students and faculty arrested with quote-unquote trespassing, even though we live here. And we legally are allowed to, there's no curfew on our campus. We're allowed to be outside. And there are quiet hours when you're supposed to be quiet, but they were quiet during the quiet hours. They weren't making any noise. The only noise being made was from the police officers charging at students, kneeling on their heads, throwing them onto the ground. It was really brutal.
Were you scared?
Well, yes, because the fire alarms in all of the dorm buildings kept being pulled. So I was forced to leave my building. And when you walk out of my dorm building, it faces the quad where the protest was going on. So I was witnessing, me and other students were forcibly witnessing police attacking our students. And a lot of police got confused when everybody emptied the buildings and they started coming towards us, even though there was a fire alarm and we had to leave our dorm. We didn't have a choice. So it was very chaotic and very stressful.
And you were
unethical.
And you were not a protester. You were in your dorm. There were 60 to 100 kids outside protesting. The protesters that were on your campus, which I'm keeping anonymous for a reason, the protesters that were on your campus, were they pro-Palestine or pro-Israel? What was the mood of the protest?
It was pro-Palestine.
And no
but
pro-Israel.
But there were no, there was no, not pro-Israel, but there was no anti-Semitism. There was no discriminatory. They were just protesting that, you know, they think that the murder of citizens, it wasn't pro-Hamas. It was, they were protesting for the citizens of Palestine.
60 to 100 kids. Now, when you say they were arrested, are you sure they were arrested? Was it campus police or was it state police?
It was a combination of campus police and police from other counties. They were taken because there wasn't enough room in the UPD, so they were taken to other precincts in the area.
This happened last night or today?
This happened on Friday night.
Now, today, was there any activity that would cause you to be afraid?
Well, last night there was. Last night, the protesters were outside again, but they were completely silent. I think they were, you know, chanting, but before the quiet hours, so they were allowed to be doing that. And then the police came, and they brought what's called an LRAD, which is a speaker that emits a permanently ear-damaging noise.
How close were you to that?
I was in my dorm, so it didn't affect me, but they used it, causing, you know, people to disperse. And then successfully, the police left, and the students were able to camp out because that was they're doing an encampment. So they camped out, but then at 9:30 in the morning, the police took advantage of the fact that everybody was sleeping and raided the protests and stole all of the students' items and threw them out and forcibly kicked everybody out.
The police came into your dorms and threw kids out?
No, they came into the protest.
They can't. I got it.
Yeah.
And tonight, is it silent or are there protests?
Tonight, it is silent because our president sent out an email saying that there would be a quote-unquote free speech zone where there was one area where people could go to have free speech.
I'm sorry to interrupt you, but I thought the free speech zone was called America.
Exactly. It is actually insane to me that she thought it would be appropriate to say that there is a free speech zone where you can only go between the hours of 10 a.m. and 10 p.m. to use free speech on a public state campus in America.
Yeah, it's a state college. That's what's shocking to me. And the police were called in by the university to disperse this crowd that was peaceful. You say it was peaceful.
Yes. I mean, I walked by the other night and everybody was completely quiet. This was like when the police weren't involved. This is the quietest weekend I've ever witnessed at a college campus.
All right. Meredith, who's at a state college, saw a peaceful protest on Friday. The university called in the police. You and I respect the police. I have no problems with the police. I don't have a relationship with the police. This is a surprising action. And they dispersed the protesters. And then they used, what was the name of the device that makes you deaf? What was that?
LRAD.
What was that? Ozzy Osbourne? What's it called?
LRAD. L-R-A-D.
Wow, I never heard of that. That's a terrifying device that could make you deaf permanently. Is that what you said?
I don't know about deaf, but ear damage, permanent ear damage.
All right. Now, Meredith, your mother and I think you probably should come home. How do you feel about that?
Well, my roommate is moving out tomorrow, so.
Because of this?
Yes.
Because of the police activity?
Yes. Her and mother is frightened.
Because your roommate, who happens to be Jewish, does not feel safe.
Well, it has nothing to do with that, but yes.
I thank you for your candor and your honesty and for sharing this story with us. It's a surprising story from where you are going to school. And the fact that there weren't rocks thrown, there weren't bricks thrown. It was not a dangerous situation like at Columbia or other colleges.
Not at all, yeah.
All right. Well, you know you can come home whenever you want, Meredith, and we love you very much. And thank you for taking the time to share this story. Thank you, love.
Bye-bye.
Bye.
All the tired horses in the sun. How am I supposed to get any riding done?
It's a live radio show on a Sunday night. This is Sterling on Sunday.
Sterling on Sunday, inspired by that Providence judge.
But a handicapped parking placard would allow you to park overnight.
Right.
Unless there's a storm.
All right. 888-688-WALT. So much going on. First, I have to give out the email address again because I can't believe the number of emails we're getting about this. JB Bakery in Burlington, New Jersey. Gave out a recipe for the best strawberry shortcake. You want to make mom happy? You want to solve all of the hundreds of years that you screwed up Mother's Day? This will make it up. Make her a strawberry shortcake. The strawberries are fresh this week. They're just coming out on the market this week. You make a strawberry shortcake for mom the Jersey way, which is a biscuit. It's not a soggy cake like you get at bad weddings or bad birthday parties. It's incredible. Ask for the recipe, waltermsterling@gmail.com. We will send it to you, waltermsterling@gmail.com. And then last week, he gave us a Midnight Misfit chocolate chip cookie, a specific recipe just for Midnight Misfits. You won't make it and then find the 10 other people have it. It's just for you. waltermsterling@gmail.com. I will send that to you. You and I were just talking to Meredith. She is my 18-year-old daughter. She's at a state college where they were having peaceful protests, pro-Palestinian peaceful protests, and the police were called and dispersed. The fire alarms went off. Fire alarms, police, disbursement, and the police were using, apparently, a device that if you get too near it when they use it, it damages your ear. And Meredith says there was nothing harmful going on. It was a peaceful protest. You may have been at college or have been part of the Vietnam peace movement. And the difference between these protests and the Vietnam peace movement protests, the big ones, interestingly, were this very week throughout the country. And the biggest and loudest and noisiest one was at Columbia University. The difference is that in these protests, there are people chanting to end America, down with America, That's not what the protests were about during the Vietnam period. It was to end the draft so you wouldn't have to be drafted, and for racial equality. This is very different. Today, when you and I witness protests that are anti-Israel and anti-Semitic, that's terrifying. It seems that there is a lack of education about the Holocaust and the last time there was systematic, loud protest against Jews that was tolerated. There is no other side in the Israeli-Palestine-Hamas war. There's no other side. It was a beautiful October day, early October in Israel. It was a religious holiday. You were feeding your baby in your kitchen. Your toddler was outside on the swing set. And then over the ridge over there, you saw three, maybe four figures, people you'd never seen before. That ridge where you told your kids, never go further than that. I need to be able to see you like a good mother, a good father, not a baby daddy, a real father, a real mother. I need to be able to see you. And you're feeding your toddler. And the figures are walking closer to your house, and you realize they're dressed in military gear, and they're wearing black hoods. You can't see who they are. And one of them approaches your toddler, and all of a sudden your toddler, who's outside, 4 or 5 years old, is on the ground, but not making any noise. He's just on the ground, and you're feeding your baby, and you rush out to see what's with your 4 or 5 year old. And the reason the baby's not making any noise outside is because the baby's been shot by one of those figures that came over the ridge. This was an unprovoked attack by Hamas against Israel. There is no other side to this. This is retaliation for the attacks on innocent people in their homes that happen to be living on the Gaza Strip. There is no other side. A few weeks ago, I talked live to a bus driver in Tel Aviv. And I said to the bus driver in Tel Aviv, what's the solution? How is this to be dealt with? What is the solution? And I asked him, I said, how do Israelis feel about President Trump?
You, your friends, your passengers, what is your point of view about President Trump?
What is our point of view on President Trump? We felt a lot more support from President Trump when he was president. There seemed to be a lot more talking between President Trump and Bibi Netanyahu. In essence, our view on President Trump is very positive. There was a lot more support from Trump on the Israeli government. Where there was a mutual bonding and a mutual acceptance between Bibi and Trump.
The most shocking story out of Columbia University is that one of the most violent leaders of the Columbia University riots is allegedly a professional agitator and limousine liberal. He's the inheritor of a $1 million ad executive business. He owns a $3.4 million Brooklyn townhouse. And he has a model who's his baby mama and a stepmom dating John Cougar Mellencamp, James Carlson, who has other names, Cody Carlson or Cody Tarlow, a longtime anarchist, a high-ranking police source says. Imagine, you got a $4 million townhouse in Brooklyn. Your baby mama is a supermodel. And stepmom is dating John Cougar Mellencamp, which means you can get all the free tickets you want. What the heck would this guy have to protest? What would he be an agitator for? The protests in 1970 at Columbia were led by the Weathermen, the underground Weathermen. The Weather Underground, by Mark Rudd. Mark Rudd was a neighbor of mine when I was growing up. And the last thing he read when he was in high school, the last book that he read in high school, according to his English teacher and mine, was Civil Disobedience by Thoreau. But I talked to Mark Rudd later after he came out of hiding after 25 years. And I said, what provoked you to this? And my theory was all wrong. And I'll tell you what provoked Mark Rudd to create the Weather Underground in the 70s. It's an amazing story. That's coming up in seconds on Sterling on Sunday.
Sterling on Sunday. Inspired by George Gilbert.
Get delicious Lancaster brand sirloin, porterhouse, or rib steak for only 79 cents a pound at your Acme Market.
Sterling on Sunday, coming up.
Hi, I'm retired New York City Police Detective Vic Ferrari, and on this week's episode of Confessions of a Retired NYPD Detective, I tell the story of what happens when four NYPD cops come up with a not-so-bright idea to tour a women's prison. Coming up in moments on Sterling on Sunday.
Mayhem, parking lot, Daisy Dukes, Davenport. Strippers on the loose later, Sterling at night.
I'm smutty book author Thea Landon, and I have a late night story for you on Sterling on Sunday.
Dan and Becky Gaffney here. You know, YouTube has saved people thousands of dollars in home repair bills. You can do anything yourself.
YouTube might give you the idea, honey, but it definitely doesn't give you the ability.
Tonight on Sterling on Sunday.
Tonight, and you on the toll-free line, 888-688-WALT.
Sterling on Sunday. Lesbians in space. Who wears puts guards?
You a lesbian?
Not sure you can ask me that.
Oh, what? Someone's gonna show up and arrest me?
Since you're my employer, it is illegal. But if you're genuinely curious, I used to only hook up with men. Then in college, I finally hooked up with this amazing TA, Phoebe, and I realized that I could connect more emotionally with women. So anyway, I'm bi.
I was just wondering why you were dressed like Rachel Maddow's mechanic.
The CBS Radio Workshop.
Lesbians in Space. Alien life with benefits.
Styling on Sunday, Kindle in Vegas, the Fetish Queen. Fetish Queen. Fetish Queen. Fetish Queen.
It's almost majestic. There's Kendall Aviva, Aviva in Vegas. Welcome, Kendall. Welcome. First, tell us what the temperature is in Las Vegas to prove that you're actually in Vegas.
It is around 70 degrees.
Isn't that magnificent?
I love that jingle.
I don't know what you're talking about. I didn't hear any jingle. Now, listen, Kendall. You are a fetish expert. Congratulations. We finally found the right lane for you. We found the right lane for you. You mumbled a couple weeks ago about the fact that you may have been a dominatrix of some sort at some point in your career. And my question was, when you're a dominatrix, you clearly set all of the rules. What are most of the guys or women looking for in a dominatrix? Is it a physical experience, or are they looking to be verbally humiliated? What would you say the majority of the dominatrix skills need to be?
Well, Walt, I would say the majority would be they definitely like the verbal and the humiliation aspect of being dominated. Mixed in with some physical, but from what I found a lot, they definitely enjoy that verbal being put down and being insulted a lot. And then maybe you can start off with the insults, which would eventually lead into some physical domination.
Is there a demographic of people who like to be dominated in that way?
Yes, well, most of the people that I met when I was doing foot fetish and being a dominatrix, Walter, a lot of the demographic would be older men, mostly in their 50s and 60s and up, and men. definitely men. I never once did have a female person wanting dominatrix services, but they are out there. But from what I met, definitely men.
And how did you feel while doing this? How did you feel? How did this work for you?
Well, in the very beginning, you know, when I started learning more about it, as I got into the foot fetish and I started learning about other boundaries and other things that people really wanted, at first I was thinking, well, this is interesting. I've never done anything like this before. So when you start something new, you're always a little bit scared at first. Am I good at this? Am I going to do a good job? Well, it turns out I'm great at it. So it was a win-win situation for me. I'm really good at commanding. I'm really good at humiliating. And so it's a real win-win situation, especially for submissive people who enjoy being dominated and who really get aroused by being told what to do and how pathetic they are.
Did you find over time that you needed to ramp it up, that you needed more equipment, that you needed better scripts, or did you start out as a natural, just knew how to be a dominatrix?
Well, it came pretty natural to me, but after doing it for a little while, I definitely did need to get some more tools. I didn't have some of the things that I needed that I knew would be that would really help me with some people, with some submissives. So some of the tools that dominatrixes use are blindfolds, also a whip. Submissives really like to get flogged and whipped. So I got myself a good whip, and make sure that if you're interested in this, you always want to have a ball gag. That's a great one to have in your little treasure box of tools. And some people really like being tied up, so a rope is always really handy, or a nice set of handcuffs. Collar and a leash. That's one that I already had for my dog. So I just went ahead and pulled that out of my pet supply stuff, and it worked.
Aviva in Vegas, what a jewel you are. How spectacular it is for you to be sharing this dark, seamy side of life that people don't have the courage to ask. Speaking of which, you know, I should, yeah. If you have a question for Aviva in Vegas, the number is 888-688-WALT, 888-688-9258. And Aviva made a listener very happy last week when she awarded a listener a pair of her well-used socks, because this particular listener was fond of being a foot fetish. This is very fascinating. It's all very fascinating. Did you have a safe word?
Yes. Well, when you are a dominatrix, when you're dom and you have a sub, you always want to make a safe word just to make sure that, you know, no boundaries are being crossed. So you could use any kind of word you want. Like, you could use strawberry shortcake. That could be your word.
But you always
cookie.
you always had one. Did anybody ever invoke the safety word, or were you well managed?
No, I was always very well managed. Never had to use a safe word. In fact, there were situations where, especially when I had first started, there was one submissive in particular, and they really wanted me to go a lot further than we had really talked about. And so, and that was just with insulting. So they wanted me to verbally humiliate them a lot. So I started off with a little bit of insulting, but they wanted me to take it to the next level, which in the very beginning, Walter, I was a little bit uncomfortable with some words that I'd never said before, but I did it because
you
it's what plowed, they wanted, and
you,
they're
you
very
plowed
happy.
Through. You plowed through. You got yes. through it. All right. Viva in Vegas, an honor to have this brilliant expose of how the world of a dominatrix works, and I thank you very much for being on Sterling on Sunday.
Let's make a pizza.
888-688-WALT, 888-688-9258. Coming up in seconds, Thea Landon
reads an excerpt from her smutty book just for you, 18-wheelers. This is Sterling on Sunday.
Sterling on Sunday, inspired by Neil Rogers.
Yeah, that's right. I qualify. I'm a fag. That gives me a leg up, so to speak.
No, you can't. There's no fags in the church.
Oh, my God. Wait a minute. I want you to get, do we have a bullet? I wish we had a bulletin sounder. There's no fags in the Catholic Church?
No.
Okay. Thank you so much. I'm so relieved. I feel so much better now.
Starling on Sunday. Smarty books, lusty books, get cozy with Peter Landon.
I'm smutty book author Thea Landon, and I have a late night story for you on Sterling on Sunday. My hand was on the doorknob when Nick called out to me. You know, you don't have to leave if you don't want to. I froze, afraid to turn around and meet his gaze. Behind me, I heard him get up and cross the room. That's completely up to you. He leaned against the wall next to me, but I refused to look at him. "Why do you do this to me?" I muttered, more to myself than him. "I'm not doing anything." "Open the door. Leave. Go home. Stay out of trouble." The voices in my head kept telling me what a bad idea it would be to get further involved with this man. I ignored them and turned to the side. Piercing hazel eyes bored into me, and I tried not to tremble beneath their magnetic power. "You know what I like about you, Celeste?" he said, shattering the growing silence. I swallowed. "What?" He towered over me, close enough to touch. "You keep me on my toes. I never know what I'm going to get with you." His thumb and forefinger rubbed the lapel of my coat. There's the straight-laced attorney in her respectable suits. Then there's the casual, curious woman who first showed up at my apartment. Gently, he pushed the coat off my shoulders. With one finger, he traced a line over the flimsy strap of my camisole. And then somewhere deep inside, there's a bad girl hiding, waiting to come out. The light touch on my skin drove me wild, and I tilted my face upward. Our instant attraction to each other had been simmering for weeks, and I was ready for it to be unleashed. The decision had been made. "I want to be your bad girl tonight," I whispered. Nick's hand slid from my shoulder up my neck. Threading his fingers through my hair, he kissed me, his lips soft yet firm. I leaned into his chest and opened my mouth for him. His tongue mingled with mine as he held me in place. Beneath my palms, I felt his breathing quicken. Our explorations became more daring, and I nipped at his bottom lip. His fist tightened in my hair, and he backed me against the door. "Celeste," he murmured, "I have to ask." "Hmm?" He stopped kissing me, but didn't pull away. "You still think I killed Sherry?" I was caught off guard by the question, my mind spinning from the sudden change of topic. "No," I finally got out. Nick straightened and stared down at me. "You hesitated." My pulse raced even faster. I mean, it's fine. I know the truth." His fingers returned to the strap of the camisole, but this time they skated along the edge of the lace trim encasing my chest. "And who knows? Maybe you get a little thrill out of not knowing for sure. Maybe you like the risk, danger." I didn't have a good answer for him. All I could do was quiver at his feathery touch as I remained enthralled by his intense gaze. But know this. I saw the crime scene photographs. Whoever did that to Sherry was enraged, out of control. And I...
He reached between us and seized my wrists with surprising force. I'm always in control. He pinned my hands over my head, slamming them against the door with a resounding thud. His mouth reclaimed mine, his tongue plunging inside. I squirmed, testing the strength of his grip. He had me trapped. The more I struggled, the more aroused I became. His body pressed forward, further immobilizing me. Without releasing me, he stood between my legs. I should have been exhausted. I was awake, alive. All my senses went into overdrive. Felt the solid door digging into my back, and I tasted the sweet velvet of his tongue tangling with mine. My heartbeat pulsed in my ears, and I swore I could hear the fire streaking through my veins. Everything about him excited me, and I craved more. I think I better stop there, but you can have more. That was an excerpt from my book Blazing Justice, which you can find on Amazon, where it's available in paperback and on Kindle Unlimited. I'm Smutty Book author Thea Landon.
A gift to American radio. That alone should put me in the Radio Hall of Fame. Have you ever heard? Well, anyway, Sterling on Sunday, good evening. I want to clarify something because a couple of you sent a note about this. My beautiful daughter Meredith was on a campus that had protests that were broken up. I want to make it clear that she was not part of the protests. And if she did protest, she would be absolutely pro-Israel, as am I. There is no other side to that conflict. There is no other side. These were suburban citizens on the Gaza Strip who were attacked unprovoked in early October. There is no other side. And I always remember the single most horrible thing to me, besides everything about the Holocaust in Germany, was it started this way, with people protesting against Jews. And you all know the story about Jews being herded into boxcars and taken to their death. What is never mentioned is they were herded into boxcars and taken to their death after they paid for the ticket. They had to pay to get onto those cars. Good evening. I'm Walter Sterling. This is Sterling on Sunday.
10 years of OK Radio, repulsive to the talk radio community. Billie Eilish fashions, courtesy of Idaho. Tonight, lesbians, strippers, and other ratings grabbers. I'm your announcer, James Goblin.
It's shocking how many radio stations, well, maybe two, that would rather run Art Bell repeats of a man who's been dead for 20 years rather than live Sterling on Sunday. Dr. Dave, with your weather.
Sterling on Sunday, coming up.
Hi, I'm retired New York City Police Detective Vic Ferrari, and on this week's episode of Confessions of a Retired NYPD Detective, I tell the story of what happens when four NYPD cops come up with the not-so-bright idea to tour a women's prison. Coming up in moments on Sterling on Sunday.
Cinco de Mayo sale meltdown in Bucks County, Pennsylvania. Details later, people of Walmart, Sterling at night.
Dan and Becky Gaffney here. You know, YouTube has saved people thousands of dollars in home repair bills. You can do anything yourself.
YouTube might give you the idea, honey, but it definitely doesn't give you the ability.
Tonight on Sterling on Sunday.
Tonight, and you on the toll-free line, 888-688-WALT.
Sterling on Sunday, the car part is live. Neon lights flicker, mirror balls spinning wide. Bullets over trailer parks under the moonlit sky. Detective Vic Ferrari solving crimes with whiskey in hand.
Hey, Walter. On this week's episode of Confessions of a Retired NYPD Detective, I tell the story of what happens when a bunch of NYPD cops visit a women's prison. So it's the late 80s, and a bunch of cops from a Manhattan precinct decide they want to travel to Pittsburgh to catch a 3-game series between the New York Mets and the Pittsburgh Pirates. So they take the weekend off, They rent a Winnebago and they drive 6 hours west to Pennsylvania. They don't know anyone in the city, so what they do is they stop by a Pittsburgh police station. Cops visiting other police departments are often treated well by the locals. They'll trade police patches, challenge coins, they'll trade war stories. They're like kids. They want to know everything they can about the other police department. Well, while they're at this police station, they hook up with this party animal Pittsburgh cop who also moonlights as a security guard at Riverfront Stadium. So what he does is he gets them a parking pass that they're able to set up shop or camp out in the Three Rivers Stadium parking lot. So the first two games of the series is great. They're partying, they're tailgating. The Pittsburgh cop who's supposed to be watching the parking lot comes in and he's getting liquored up. So they're all banged up. It's Sunday morning and the game isn't until about 7 o'clock p.m. So they got the whole day to kill and they're trying to figure out what they want to do for the day. And the Pittsburgh cop says, hey, do you guys want to take a tour of a women's prison? So one of the cops says back, they take tours of a women's prison. He goes, well, my cousin's a correction officer. So they make another beer run. They stop at a 7-Eleven. They get some nachos. They travel another 2 hours into the state, into the country, where they find a women's prison. The cop had already called his cousin. His cousin comes out, he meets him, and he gives him the ground rules. And it was just one simple ground rule. He says, whatever you do, do not engage the inmates. So they said, fine. Five of them walk into the prison, and they're walking around. And as soon as they get into this prison, the women notice there's men in there, and they're not correction officers. So now you're getting catcalls and lewd comments, and the females are blowing kisses at him. And at first, it's funny. The cops are laughing, and they're commenting on how the prison smells like Manhattan Central booking. Well, before you know it, the women start getting aggressive and they start throwing tampons at him and yelling and screaming at him. So a couple of the cops answer back, not so politely. Well, all hell breaks loose and the correction officer says, all right, you know what? I got to get you guys out of here. There's too much of a problem. So they all leave. They go back to Pittsburgh to catch the final game, and they go back to New York. Because of the mini riot, there was a newspaper article that there were NYPD cops up there. So the story makes the local paper. It gets picked up by the AP wire, and then it gets published in the New York papers. Now the hunt is on to find who these cops are. Eventually, the Internal Affairs Division finds out who they are, and they all lose 5 vacation days. For more NYPD stories, be sure to check out my new book, NYPD, Laughing in the Line of Duty.
Sterling on Sunday. Lost in space. Mission control. Dave Scott. Scott.
Was on a very important mission last Sunday. And I have to ask you about this. You went to a Bigfoot convention, and I thought, well, that's interesting. I'll look up Bigfoot convention, find out where you are, learn a little bit about it so I can talk to you about it tonight. What I was shocked to learn is there are Bigfoot conventions all the time throughout the country of various sizes and detail. Who knew this is a giant industry about Bigfoot? Share with us, won't you, Dave, the Bigfoot convention you went to last week. What was that like?
It was absolutely amazing, Walt. I actually had been to Nebraska for the first time, and the first thing I noticed coming out of the mountains of British Columbia was how flat Nebraska is. There wasn't a mountain to be seen, but apparently there is Bigfoot in that state, and we ended up talking to about 400, 500 people who were sitting in attendance, listening to our stories and research of everything to do with the legend of Sasquatch.
What did you learn from these lectures? I noticed that each of these conferences has guest speakers. Some of them are premium guest speakers, much demand, a robust agenda. Did you learn anything new about Sasquatch?
I didn't learn anything new, but I could tell you, looking at the experiences on how to look for evidence and what to look for was pretty amazing. So if you're walking through the forest and all of a sudden you see uprooted trees, that the top of the tree is sticking into the ground and the roots are hanging up in the sky, well, that probably means you got some Sasquatch in that area. A lot of different evidence, like footprints and hair samples have been found. handprints of giant human-like hands in the mud and dirt have been found. I mean, it's incredible what we have for this creature, the evidence that we have for this creature, but it's just amazing that we don't accept its reality.
I accept its reality. I accept that it's probably a humanoid that lasted through the last ice age, beat all the odds, still exists. What I don't understand, Dave Scott, what I don't buy is that we haven't caught one with all of our technology, all eyes looking for them, our ability to hunt. Why haven't we caught one?
Well, many people believe that it isn't a flesh and blood creature, that it is some sort of interdimensional being, maybe alien, that is walking through the forests of a humanoid type creature that stands anywhere from 7 feet to 15 feet tall. I mean, one person at this conference had a footprint that he showed on the teleprompter that was 36 inches long. 36 inches. That's over 3 feet. And I mean, I could not imagine something that big walking through the forest. I have found footprints before, Walt. The biggest print that I have seen with my own eyes is 18 inches long. And to be able to think that we haven't found this creature, I think there's something more to it. There is some people who believe that it could shapeshift into a shimmer man type of thing. They call it the Glimmer Man. And with the Glimmer Man, do you remember the movie Predator? Before Predator comes out and shows who he actually is, he's that shimmering cloak. Many people have had experiences with that, climbing up trees, running through the forest. And it doesn't matter where you are in North America. These creatures seem to be everywhere, from the wild tundra of Canada all the way down to the lower 48 in the Boggy Creek area in Washington State, all the way over to New York and Florida. This creature seems to be everywhere.
What's interesting about Sasquatch, and when people talk about it and claim that they've seen it, as opposed to aliens, I never hear these descriptions wrapped in fear. It's always curiosity, a little respect, a little distance, but never fear. Is that a fair assessment?
I think in some areas you are absolutely right, but when you get into the bogs and marshes of Louisiana, right across to Florida, where it's a little bit more violent, where there's a lot of wild animals in there that are violent, from alligators to alligator gar to water moccasins, wild boars. I think this creature gets a little bit more pissed off with its territory. But in my area, British Columbia, right through to Northern California, they seem to be a lot more docile. Who knows? Maybe they're, you know, hyped up and ready for anything. Maybe they are smoking the 420 out in the West Coast here. I don't know. But I can tell you this, as someone who has had a couple close encounters with Sasquatch, I am firmly in the category of believing this creature is completely real.
Oh, I believe it's real. Now, you just said you've been in the area, you've been near a Sasquatch. Could you describe that for us, Dave Scott?
It was October 8th, 2022. It was about 9:45. We were patrolling an area where we were having some Sasquatch activity that we had found prints in the area before. And a friend of mine heard a crack of a tree off in the distance. And when we brought our flashlights up from our base camp, we looked forward and there was about a 10-foot creature standing maybe 80 to 100 yards from us. And we were able to go back there a couple days later to actually take a look at where this area was. We had a tree that we could measure the size against. This tree stood about 8 feet tall. This Sasquatch was towering over it. It was on a moonlight night, and it was bipedal. It was staring at us. We had the full front body profile. We could not see the face. There was no neck, Walt. No neck at all. It just went from these giant shoulders to this pointy head. And four of us, including my 10-year-old son, saw it that night. And we were just amazed. And the weird part about it is, Walt, we don't know how it left. If it went to its left, it would have had to climb over a bunch of fallen trees. We would have heard it. If it went to its right, it would have had to climb or cross a logging road and then climb up a 7 to 8 foot embankment. If it came towards us, obviously we would have seen it. If it backed off into the darkness of the night, we would have seen it disappear. We do not know how that thing left.
Dave Scott, how do we get in touch with you during the week?
SpacedOutRadio.com, as always, Walt. Talk to you soon.
SpacedOutRadio.com. Dave Scott, great guest on Sterling on Sunday. Thank you, Dave.
Fall into the gap now. Get to the gap. We got 4 tons of Levi's waiting for you. At the gap now. Fall into the gap. It's the world's greatest selection. It's true. At the gap now. Fall into the gap. Whatever your shape, sex, or size.
Do you realize that because of you, this city is being overrun by baboons?
Well, isn't that the fault of the voters?
I-80, east-west, I-90, the luge. You and I are together. This is the best medium, the most powerful medium. You want to sell a product? I can sell your product. This is Sterling on Sunday. I'm Walter Sterling, and MyPillow is excited to announce that they are having a huge spring sale. Here are a few examples. Buy one MyPillow 2.0 and get another one for free. These pillows are made with cooling technology, which means the best pillow just got even better. And this just in, 9 brand new colors and styles of Percal bed sheets. They're made with the finest long staple cotton, and now you can save 50% or more. That's a low of $24.98 for a set of sheets. And for the first time this year, my slippers and sandals for as low as $25 a pair. That's a huge discount. These slippers are indoor-outdoor slippers. So go to MyPillow.com, use promo code Walter. This is for Midnight Misfits only. For a limited time, when you order $75 or more, your entire order ships free. Go to MyPillow.com, use promo code Walter, or call 800-844-0876.
Did you know that healthy arteries make a gas? Yes, actually 3 known gases. Hi, I'm Dr. Mitch, and nitric oxide is a gas that's readily made all day long to keep our arteries open by relaxing the blood vessel walls. By doing this, our circulation is increased, bringing blood, oxygen, and nutrients to every part of your body. Both age and poor diet can lead to a loss of this precious gas, and in turn, blood pressure can go up, energy can go down, and you can get tingling in your hands and feet. Well, our product, Ultimate Nitric Oxide, can easily help fix this lack of nitric oxide. Go to TotalWellness.com. That's TotalWellness.com, where we are helping you to look good, feel good, and enjoy total wellness.
Crime across the country is at an all-time high. It feels like even a family road trip is taking a risk. We don't want the feeling of being unprotected and vulnerable. We found GetCCL.com. GetCCL.com gave us the help we needed to apply for a legal concealed carry permit that's recognized in over half of the country. GetCCL.com simplifies the process to apply, and it's all online. We used their free qualification process to answer a few questions and applied for our permit right from home. Thanks to reciprocity laws between states, when you're issued a New Hampshire concealed carry permit, you can legally carry in any state that recognizes your New Hampshire permit. It only takes minutes to apply, so don't wait. Exercise your rights today. Ensure you're protecting your family at home and in other states. Have peace of mind. Apply today. Go to GetCCL.com. That's GetCCL.com. Go to GetCCL.com. Exercise your rights today. Go to GetCCL.com.
Runner's knee, golfer's back, hiker's hip.
Any of these feel familiar? At Virtua Orthopedics and Spine, we've got a doc for that.
Baker's wrist, laptop neck, shopper's shoulder.
Yep, we've got a doc for those too. Virtua Orthopedics and Spine has over 60 specialists, 20 PT rehab facilities, and 26 surgical sites all across South Jersey. Find the right specialist for you at virtua.org/ortho.
Talk Radio
1210 invites you to help Catholic Social Services and donate disposable diapers for needy mothers of all faiths. Go to YouGiveGoods.com and search Diapers for Darlings. Remember, you're not alone. There's a new national hotline for mental health distress, 988. Call or text 988 and you'll be connected with trained counselors. Find out more at imlistening.org. And Philabundance is the region's largest hunger relief organization, serving more than 90,000 people a week, almost a third children. Help out at philabundance.org.
Sterling on Sunday, inspired by Frank Rizzo.
You are a lush, I can tell by looking at you.
Life with the Gaffney 7 kids, 150-year-old house, Dane and Mickey Bicker on Sterling on Sunday.
I'm Dan Gaffney.
And I'm Becky Gaffney.
Another peek into our lives with our eight kids and our old house. I love that you can learn anything you want on YouTube. So when the dryer breaks or any appliance breaks, no need to call the repairman. You can do it yourself.
Is this why when the dishwasher broke about, 10 years ago, we never replaced it? You're planning on replacing it yourself?
Back to the dryer.
Okay.
I tore it all apart, diagnosed the problem, parts came the next day, put it in, working like a charm.
I will say, this was one of those projects that wasn't too bad. It wasn't misordering parts because you thought you knew what it was and it took 3 weeks. It actually was very quick.
But here's the crazy thing. You take it apart, this screw, that screw, take the back off, lift the lid, undo the wires, undo this screw, that screw, lift off the front, take the drum out, put the new belt on, do this, do that. Then do it all in reverse. You put it all back together, every screw, everything in place. And then
you walk into the bedroom with a proud look on your face to tell your wife that you have fixed the dryer and exclaim, wait. Where's my phone?
I couldn't find my cell phone. Then I remembered, wait, I was using the flashlight on the cell phone inside the dryer.
Literally screwed his cell phone into the dryer. It was in the dryer. I had to call him so we could see if our appliance would ring.
Yeah, and it did. So I had to do the whole procedure over again.
The one good thing about this, though, is that I think it was good practice for the next time, because ultimately, you know you'll be taking that dryer apart at least 4 more times until I get a new one.
I got it down now. I could do it in my sleep.
Well, if you could do that in your sleep, honey, I'm hoping you can watch a few tutorials on the installation of dishwashers. We can shop. We can go buy the two that I want, one for each side of the sink, one for storage, one for always clean dishes, and then you can do that for me, too.
All right. Follow me on Facebook, Dan Gaffney Show.
If you're looking for me, I'm on Instagram as Just Being Mom.
Dan and Becky Gaffney, Sterling on Sunday.
Sterling on Sunday, we are alive.
Davenport, Iowa. Yeah, Davenport, Iowa. Part of the whole Quad Cities thing. If you've never been, you are missing out. Sounds like a fun summer road trip. A wonderful institution of an exotic dancing emporium. It's called Daisy Dukes. Dukes spelled D-O-O-K-S. Ironically enough, all the dancers are introduced to the stage as Daisy. Fight breaks out in the parking lot. Broken jaw, broken skull. Michael McFreedy's 45 of Davenport. He's been arrested. The person who was assaulted is hospitalized in very, very serious condition. I can't tell you how much I want to stress this for you. Remember, the exotic dancer doesn't like you. The exotic dancer is not worth fighting for. If you find yourself wanting to get into fisticuffs at the strip club, even as tantalizing as Daisy Dukes is in beautiful Davenport, Iowa, do yourself a favor. Walk away. Discretion. It's a better part of valor, isn't it not? Yes, it is. So do yourself a favor. Learn from this lesson. Not worth the fight. Go ahead and leave. It's not a diss track like what's going on between Drake and Kendrick Lamar. Leave. From the Champagne Room, this is Velo Hool. Strippers on the Loose, Sterling at Night.
Well, Keith Mortensen, a Midnight Misfit, a long-standing Midnight Misfit, has just sent me the most terrifying information about an app. Mr. Softy goes high tech. Now you can track the Mr. Softy truck if you live in Bucks County. Best I can tell, that is the major reason to live in Bucks County. Childhood summer memories are sweet, among them chasing after a Mr. Softy truck. Now you can download an app, a Mr. Softy truck app, and it will tell you exactly where the Mr. Softy is, said Mr. Softy's world headquarters in Runnymede, New Jersey. Keith Mortensen, thanks, but no thanks. It's the last thing I need.
Sterling on Sunday, inspired by George Carlin.
And the greatest arrogance of all, save the planet. What? Are these people kidding me? Save the planet? We don't know how to take care of ourselves yet. We haven't learned how to help one another. We're going to save the planet? I am getting tired of that. I'm tired of Earth Day. I'm tired of these self-righteous environmentalists. I'm tired of these white, liberal, bourgeois, liberal, white people who think the only thing wrong with this planet is there aren't enough bicycle paths.
It's the people of Walmart on Sterling on Sunday.
The values at Walmart frequently put people on edge. In fact, sometimes they just lose all faculties of what would be normal behavior. Case in point, Michelle Flores. She's 54 years old, probably should know a little bit better. She goes into Walmart's Cinco de Mayo Day sale. Getting ready for today. Enjoy some tequila and beans and corn chips and Mexican blend cheeses as you hang out with your friends. Cerveza y tequila. Muy bueno. All right. So she also was probably looking for those wonderful Mexican hats. She lost all faculties with reality. Michelle, this is not her first experience at this particular Walmart in Bucks County, Pennsylvania. Right near Philadelphia, Bucks County. Great place. Beautiful place. And she apparently in December just flipped out over the wonderful savings as well. The police had to be called and they had to haul her off. In fact, Michelle Flores has been banned from Walmart. I've been to a lot of Walmarts. I've seen a lot of crazy things at the Walmart. At no time at any Walmart that I've been at, has there ever been, to my knowledge, someone banned from it. If you're actually going to ban people for bad behavior in a Walmart, it's like half the store has to go. So this Michelle Flores must be cuckoo for Cocoa Puffs. Allegedly. She's probably a wonderful woman just loving the values. For the people of Walmart, this is Velo Hool, Sterling at Night.
Allegedly, Sterling at Night. My gosh, can you imagine a radio show actually allowed on this station that's like this? It's shocking. And what's interesting is that the talk radio community, for reasons that I don't need to bore you with, exalts me. They actually think I know stuff. I know nothing. But they don't want to talk about this show because it's successful. And it goes against everything that they think they should be doing. They think the mission of this station is to bash the Democrats. It's not. It's to be a source of entertainment. Remember, Rush Limbaugh was a disc jockey before he screamed at the Democrats. He was a wacky DJ. All the good hosts who do talk radio were wacky DJs, but then they work very hard to seem very serious and keep quoting the Constitution, which they've never read. Not me. You know why I like Caitlin Clark? Do you know why you like Caitlin Clark? For years, I'd be at a basketball game. Somebody dragged me to a basketball game where I'd have to be bored out of my mind watching a football game. You know what the problem was for me? I didn't have the chip. I could not process play by play by play of a basketball game or a football game. It was a streak to me. It all looked the same. I can enjoy bowling. That I can keep up with. And I can enjoy baseball. That I can keep up with. I got that. But basketball, football, way too fast for me. Then I see Caitlin Clark. And I understand the three-point line. I understand that. And it's slower. The WNBA is slower than the NBA, and I can get it. And I watched a whole game, and then another and another, and I completely enjoyed it. She is making the game accessible to the zillions of us who cannot watch NBA basketball because it's too fast, because we don't have the chip in our head to distinguish play to play to play. For a long time, I used to think, I hate basketball. Or I hate football. That isn't the case. I couldn't comprehend it. I have so many problems that the result is that I have to be in radio. That's the heart of my problem.
This is Mr. Zip. He revolutionized the mail delivery system of the United States with his zip code. The heart of the system is a number, a zip code number. Let's break this one down and see how it works.
The horror of American industry is the HR department. Let's listen to this about the HR department and why it's not your friend.
My name is Brannigan, and I'm an employment lawyer. Trick number one is the mighty open door policy. If you open up your employee handbook, there's a 90% chance that somewhere in there, it says that human resources has an open door policy. Regardless of the language used, most people understand that to mean HR is there. They want to hear your concerns and complaints. And if you go to HR, they will keep your complaint confidential and you'll be protected from retaliation. This is absolutely not true. They almost never keep your complaint confidential. I've talked to hundreds of employees who went to HR in confidence only to find out shortly thereafter that their complaint was shared with the very person that they were complaining about.
HR is evil because it puts up a barrier between you having a conversation, an honest conversation with whoever and whatever is annoying you. And they lie. Sure, come to us. We'll take care of it confidentially. When I was an executive vice president at NBC, yes, it's shocking, but true, I was. When I was an executive vice president at NBC, I had a lot of problems, a lot of trouble with one executive, with another executive. He put up obstacles to every single thing I wanted to do. Everything. If it was a simple obstacle, it would be that I needed to over-explain it to him. I had to mansplain everything to him. But it could be far more complex. And I said to the head of personnel at the time, I said, I have a problem here. I need to fix this problem. And he said, we have this woman who handles situations like this, high level. I was high level. I was much closer to high lit than high level. And we have high level exchanges. You should go and talk to her. All right. So I go and have lunch with Karen. Not her name. I go to lunch with Karen at my favorite restaurant. Oh, there was this amazing Chinese restaurant in Manhattan called Kiwa Yen. It was that they had dumplings, steamed dumplings. I've never found them before or since. Oh my gosh. I'm sitting there eating the steamed dumplings. I'm enjoying my Diet Coke and I'm talking to Karen. And I said to Karen, every single problem I had with this person, every single problem I had with this person, all of them, every reason I hated this person, all of it. To Karen, not her name. I come back a day or two later, somebody who worked for me shut the door and said, you know who's sleeping with Karen at lunch? I said, what? You know who's sleeping with Karen? Went, what? And it was this person who I hated. The person I had dumped every secret I felt about him to was sleeping with him. She never revealed it, never exposed it, never mentioned, gee, we're really good friends, nothing. She just took it all in. Worse than that, I go out to my very prim and proper secretary, and I say to her, do you know do you know who he's sleeping with? And I say, you know, he's sleeping with Karen. And she goes, oh, yes, everybody knows that, Walter.
Fall into the gap now, get to the gap.
We got four tons of Levi's waiting for you.
At the gap now, fall into the gap.
It's the world's greatest selection. It's true.
At the gap now, fall into the gap.
Whatever your shape, sex or size.
Sunday the call 888-688-9259. Call 888-688-WALT
888-688-9258. Let me just look at something here. I know what we have to do. Let's see. Oh, listen, so many requests for the recipe from JB Bakery in Burlington, New Jersey, for the fresh, real strawberry shortcake recipe that actually is done by moms throughout New Jersey, and his amazing chocolate chip cookie recipe. If you'd like that, all you have to do is send me an email, waltermsterling@gmail.com. And I see that Big Daddy has asked for it, and Irene D., Donna G., Terry B., Minka N., Joseph R., Nancy S., Barb L., hello, Barb, Gary B., welcome to Sterling on Sunday. You are Midnight Misfits. Finally, you got a club, buddy. Sterling on Sunday.
Sterling on Sunday. Inspired by Alex Daddario.
Do you just look at my boobs?
I was not my intention. I didn't stare directly at them.
You're looking at them right now.
Now I did. Because you were talking about them.
Sterling on Sunday. Now, 3 good minutes.
This is home improvement expert Tom Kreitler. Did I say your name right?
Yeah, it's Kreitler.
Kreitler.
Yeah.
It's an honor to meet you because he has been the host of the hit show The Money Pit. We're approaching spring, Tom. How about some tips on how to make the outdoor area look better?
Sure. So let's start by talking about finding hidden space. My favorite spot for that is underneath an elevated deck. Now, you might be thinking, well, isn't that area like damp and mossy and dingy? Yeah, it is. So the solution is to add an underdeck drainage system like Trex Rain Escape. It basically uses a network of troughs and downspouts to divert water away from the deck, and that protects the deck structure from rot and decay while keeping that space below the deck dry. It also allows homeowners to run gas and electrical lines below the deck surface so you can power lights and you can power appliances. And once it's in place, you've essentially doubled your deck's living space. And it's very easy to install. It needs only 3 tools, a utility knife, a staple gun, and a caulk gun. And it's backed by a 25-year warranty.
I don't trust myself to make an installation that you say is easy.
Okay. So,
because the minute it gets into my hands, it'll be hard. Now, therefore, my young daughters always tell me, get a guy, Daddy. Go get a guy yeah. to do this. How do I pick a guy? What questions should I ask of a potential handyman or installer
right.
to make sure I'm not going to be ripped off?
Do the work first. Do the research. Easier than ever with all of the resources we have today, online, video, you know, et cetera, et cetera. Figure it out first and then bring the pro in once you have that spec. If it's a bigger project, it is very wise to get professional help because if you get an architect to spec this out for you, you'll get exactly that, a set of specs, a set of specifications that future pros can bid against, and they'll all be apples to apples. So it makes the process a lot less complicated than trying to figure out how one bid is different than another. So I think that's a really important place to start.
I want you to go back to when you were a building inspector.
Okay.
Your life as a building inspector. If you're in an HOA, a home, whatever organization, association, homeowners association, or if you're a tenant in a rental building, when you walked in as a building inspector, where did your eyes go first? What were you looking for top line?
What did I look for? Well, depending on the age of the house and what my assessment was, I could pretty much tell you based on the age of the house what the weak points are going to be. 1960s house, it was going to have beautiful hardwood floor and good plumbing, but it probably was going to have some wiring updates to be done. You know, if it was a 1980s house, big building boom then, everybody was in a big stinking rush to build houses, so the workmanship is not going to be good. So I'll look for things around that and so on. So it really comes down to that age.
Tom Kreutler, great broadcaster, co-host of the nationally syndicated home improvement radio program, The Money Pit, and author of My Home, My Money Pit. What an honor to have you on the show, Tom. Thank you so much for your time today on Sterling on Sunday.
Pre-recorded partnership with The Money Pit.
Good evening. I'm Walter M. Sterling. This is Sterling on Sunday, a live radio show. There's nothing else live on right now. It's just us. It's just you and me. We get to talk to each other at 888-688-WALT. I am obsessed with my hatred for toll roads. There should be no tolls on any of these roads. The majority of the toll does not go to repairing the road. It goes to paying off the bonds of debt that built the road. Many of the roads say that once the debt is paid off, the tolls have to come down. And then there's the next line. The next line says, unless in the opinion of the people running the toll, they need to build more road for safety reasons, and then they can continue to collect the toll, to raise bonds. It never ends. But Portugal, my gosh, the Olive Press in Portugal reported that Portugal's parliament approved a draft law that eliminates tolling on several highways regarded as having no safe or high-quality alternatives. The government estimates that the initiative will cost around 157 million euros, or $168 million. Some highways connecting Portugal and Spain would become toll-free if the law is enacted. It is subject to additional legislative review, but the reason they want to eliminate the toll on certain roads is that motorists have no alternative. They have no safe road alternative. Wouldn't that be a great guideline for us? That if there's no safe way to get from point A to point B in your truck, except on a toll road, that the toll had to be eliminated. It's unfair. It is the worst form of monopoly. Yeah, sure, I could go on this one-lane road that's often a dirt road that goes through a lot of cornfields, but it's not safe. It's dangerous. I hope you learned a great deal tonight, because I learned absolutely nothing, and the greatest gift I can receive from you is a request for help.
And I love this sweet Walter Sterling Show. Thanks for listening. We appreciate it so.
Join us next week at 10 Eastern, 7 Pacific, for another Walter Sterling Show. I love it.
And my classroom should be as well air conditioned as your favorite bar.
Join us next week at 10 Eastern, 7 Pacific, for another Walter Sterling Show.
Next Sunday.
All right.
Right. Stay bright.